Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And tonight, my co-host is Michael P. McCarthy. How are you today?
I am damp here in Maryland, as the rest of us up here are.
Damp?
Damp. It is muggy, it is hot, and it is wet.
Oh, well, that's interesting because it's not that bad down here. So I don't know why it's so bad up there. So anyway, with that in mind, that it's damp up there, we're going to have an open show tonight, Mike. That means our listeners can say, you know, I'm going to forget about the weather. I'm just going to call in, ask a question, help me with my personal finances. Any question you want to ask, and we can address it for you, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way you call in and ask your question about any issue on personal finances that you're interested in. Matter of fact, today, Mike, we were talking to a client who's planning to go live internationally.
Yeah.
And all the issues that take place when you make an international move, and what are the tax consequences? For example, if you move to an international home, do you still have to pay Maryland income taxes? And the answer is, it depends. It depends on how you make the move and what you did, and are you keeping a home here, and what's your nexus back to the state, and would you ever return to the state in the future? And those are the kind of questions Maryland's going to be asking if you were to make that type of a move. So, you know, that may be something that other listeners want to learn about today.
Yeah, absolutely. Estate taxes as well. But, you know, it is an open show, Drew, and you didn't have to wait too long for your first caller. So let's go to Les in Columbia about Social Security. Les, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew, this is your old buddy Les from Annapolis. How you doing? Hey,
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing well, thanks. We're actually up in Reisterstown now. Hey, I had a question about Social Security.
Okay.
We're 60 now, my wife and I, and Debbie stopped working when she was, 25 years ago, but she had her quarters.
Okay.
So I don't know that I'm going to retire anytime soon, but when should I advise her to start taking Social Security?
So she...
Mine or hers?
So, well, let's start. She's never going to, let me start from scratch, okay? So I was living in Reisterstown till just about a year ago. I sold my house in November of 2020. I lived on Deer Park. What about you?
I live right by the Reisterstown Lumber Company, right off the
30th. Yeah, I know exactly where you're talking about. We were probably about 4 or 5 miles from each other when I lived out there.
I love to see you.
Yeah, well, we own a condo still in Hunt Valley, but we're now in Amelia Island, Florida. So that's where our main home is. But anyway, let me answer your question. Assuming that Deb only has a little bit of quarters, okay, she should do what my wife did, Bev. She should start claiming at age 62, okay? She should start taking her Social Security at 62. And then Les is going to go in and claim at age 70 unless you have a health issue that you feel either you or Deb could not live much past 75 years of age. If you had that situation, then I would probably advise Les to start collecting at 67, his full retirement age. Assuming that both of you are both in good health at 67 of Les, I would let Deb continue to collect her own Social Security until you're 70 years of age. When you're 70 years of age, you're going to go in and collect your Social Security, which will be maximized at age 70, and Deb will go with you and say, okay, adjust my Social Security to be half of Les's, but it will be half of Les's full retirement age Social Security at age 67. That's the general rule we're going to use, Les, to make that decision.
fantastic. That's very helpful information.
Okay, my friend, and if you ever want to, you let us know, and we'll throw it through a maximizing Social Security analyzer and give you their answer, but that would be what we think is going to prove to be your best scenario, all right?
All right. Best to you and Bev. Thank you.
Good talking to you, Les. Take care, my friend. Anyway, we're on an open show, Mike. We got to go traffic pause in a little bit. We got a little bit of time. My clock and your clock are different. No,
my clock's not at the radio station, so you should go by mine.
I'm going by your clock. Anyway, we're on an open show. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. You might want to talk about Social Security also, like Les just did. You might want to talk about international taxation, like we were talking about a client that came in and wanted to talk about moving to a foreign country, or and the other issues involved with that. You might want to talk about estate taxation or estate planning. Maybe you have elder care issues for a parent. Anything that deals with your personal finances, we're here to help you. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way you call in and ask that question. We're going to be going on a pause in a second or two. Lines are completely open, right, Mikey?
Yes, they are. Hey, the other thing, just to throw a topic in there, what about somebody who's not going to move internationally but has a spouse that has citizenship in another country or non-citizenship?
We have that too. A client that has an Irish wife and not an American citizen, and what does that mean? And so forth. So anyway, there's lots of issues. We got to go to a traffic pause, but we're going to be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. That means our listeners are a guest. We get to answer your questions. You get to determine what you think is the most important issue, and we'll answer it. And you've probably got a few people out there that want to hear the same question that you're asking. Like, you know, Les was just asking a second ago about when to collect Social Security for he and his spouse. You probably have the same kind of questions out there. So if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Is there anyone trying to ask a question, Mikey?
The lines are completely open, and we're waiting for your call.
Oh, we're waiting for their calls then, Mike. So 410-922-6680, and we'll have to come up with something to talk about ourselves. And if you do me a favor, I don't have to talk to Mike anymore.
There you go. That's what he's looking for, people.
410.
Had enough of me during the day.
That is true. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. But let's talk about that that international situation, because that's a fascinating one. So if somebody moves to Italy, we had a client a year ago, that was actually 2 years ago now, they moved to Italy. And they moved to Italy just about 6 months before the COVID hit in Italy. Bad timing, Mike.
Yeah. A lot of smokers over there still in Italy.
You know, and it was funny. I was talking to them numerous times when the COVID lockdown hit, and they were telling me, I mean, you think it was bad here? You should have heard what they were telling me they had to do in their town. And they were in one of those towns that one of the harder hit towns in the country. So anyway, the Klein moved to Italy. Did they have to pay taxes to Maryland? And the answer in their situation was no. Why? Well, because before they moved, they sold their Maryland home. They had no affiliation with Maryland whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. They moved to another state. They moved to Texas. And from Texas, they launched themselves to Italy. And it was from their Texas location that they launched to Italy, not from Maryland. And they lived there completely. It was their only home with no intention of returning to the United States under most circumstances for the time being. And because of that scenario, there was no nexus left to Maryland and no reason to pay Maryland income taxation. But you have another client, let's say, and they keep a Maryland home and they do have affiliation with Maryland. Now the question becomes, where's your driver's license? Are you trying to vote? Are you voting for Maryland congresspeople and senators? Are you keeping your memorabilia and everything that's valuable? Are you intending to return and live in Maryland in the next few years after you've spent your time internationally? I mean, these are the kind of things people, you know, most people, Mike, think that when you move and you live somewhere else 6 months and 15 days or even 7 months, they say, well, that's it. All I got to do is live 6 months and a day somewhere else. And the answer is maybe not. So go ahead.
All right. Well, we can continue talking about that topic later, but we don't want to make Linda in Ellicott City wait any longer. Linda, how can we answer your question?
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I'm calling because I am looking to retire. I have grandchildren here in Maryland, but I'm looking to retire eventually in West Virginia. I've done a little bit of research about that. So I guess my question is, what do I need to do in order to get my funds in order? I have a 401k, I have a retirement, I have a home that has a low mortgage worth about $600,000 to $700,000, and I'm just wondering what I need to do. I do have a broker who I have not spoken to probably in 2 years.
Right. Well,
but
first thing you ought to do.
They're doing okay.
First thing you ought to do is get away from a broker. Mike is sitting there saying, oh, come on, Drew, don't be so. But anyway, you need more comprehensive advice. Most brokers do not give comprehensive advice. They just invest money and they might give some superficial advice. But you really, most people should be working with something. And you know what the funny thing is that you pay pretty much the same type of fees for comprehensive advice along with the investments as you pay a broker who's going to just be doing the investments. Wouldn't you agree,
right,
Mike?
I would say so. But I would also say some of the tangible items that you're going to want to make sure you do is have somebody who's got that comprehensive knowledge. Don't just focus on your assets, but start it at the beginning. Start it. All of the things, the insurances, the estate plan, and really the place that they need to get to with you for you to make that next step is the goals. What are your expectations for your future? And then have somebody independent from yourself look at your assets, look at your Social Security, look at all those things, and put it together in a plan and say, does Linda's idea work? Will Linda's idea work out? And if it doesn't work out, it's not that it, okay, we're done. It's, well, what options does Linda have in order to make that work?
Right, yep. And one of the main things I'm concerned about is the tax issue, because who knows, you know, what's going to happen as far as taxes go. So, you know, with my Social Security and my retirement, whether it's going to be taxed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't already know.
Yeah, well, that's why you do a comprehensive analysis of your situation and you try to determine, you know, do I have a plan in place? And you want to consolidate and simplify your investments and your assets as much as possible. So those are the things you need to be doing. And you need to find somebody who's independent, objective, fee only, and we'll help you do that kind of work, okay? Those are the things that we would recommend you do. And you want somebody that can deal with a very comprehensive program to do an analysis of your retirement goals and objectives. And that those are the types of things you should expect. And unfortunately, most people in this industry do not have the talent, the experience, the education to do that. And that's why we do this radio show. But right now, unfortunately, I have to roll and go to our next caller. But great question, great call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we've only got about 2 minutes to get our next caller started, but let's go right to him. Let's go to Tim in Northwest Baltimore. And you have an annuity question, right, Tim?
Yeah, hi. Listen, my mom passed, and she left me a death benefit. And I'm torn because I thought I was going to be able to get the whole thing in a lump sum. And I'm able to do that. That's one of the options. But they take a lot of money off of it with that. They also offer an annuity where you can get the whole amount, but they want to spread it out over a five-year period. And let's say you can take the payments monthly. I'm kind of torn because I'm not in the best health. I'm not sure if I'm going to live the whole 5 years, but at least you can put down a beneficiary. What do you think would be the best move in that situation?
That's an extremely difficult question to answer with what information we have at this point in time, but let me give you some general rules to think about. So the first thing I would do if you came to me and said, could you help me make this decision? I'd want to know, well, how much money is it? And is it a non-qualified annuity that she owns? And did she put money into it that's after tax? And what company is it with? What are the fees that they're charging? What are the options that you've laid out? There are some options they're giving you. And then after I get that analysis, then I'd go in and say, okay, well, let's say we take the lump sum. How much taxes are we going to pay? And what is the consequences for you taking that lump sum and the tax issues and so forth? So in general, how much money is it? Is it $10,000? Is it $100,000? Is it $200,000?
It's 60.
60. And was it an annuity that she put money in that's after tax? So there's only a portion that's taxable inside of it?
I think so. I got some bad information. I thought that the lump sum, even though that was less, was not taxed, but they say it is. So if that's the case, I'm kind of leaning maybe taking the...
So hold on, Tony. I really have to go right at 6:29, but I promise you, in 4 minutes, I'm going to be back to you, and we're going to answer the rest of your question, okay?
Thank you.
You hold on.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. And we have Tony on the line. Is there anybody else on the line with Tony?
We have Tim on the line. I've just brought him on.
We're going to go. We're going to Tony, right?
Tim. Tim is the...
Tim.
Tim's here, and he's ready. He's ready to hear the end of the annuity answer.
Oh, okay. Tim, so we need to know what kind of annuity is it, and is there after-tax money in it? Because, like, for example, if it's an after-tax annuity, which is what I would anticipate, there's a good chance that maybe there's only $30,000 of taxable income, and if you don't have a lot of other income, there's a good chance there might not be a lot of tax liability in liquidating that.
Now, Tim, were you able to hold on with us? I'm getting the sense that maybe you're not there, Tim. Well, hopefully Tim was listening, and hopefully Tim got his answer that way, but...
Maybe he said, when I called him Tony at the break, he got mad and left.
Yeah, you really got to pay more attention.
No,
Mr.
what
Tignanelli.
You have to do is put my names up here on the chat box so
let's,
I know who it is.
Let's take this off air.
You're thinking my knowledge is going to be able to remember. What's the new caller's name?
All right, so... Steve in Social Security, please break this conversation he and I are having up, and how can we help you?
Steve.
I wonder why he didn't name the song when it came back on.
I'm going to show everybody my expertise in music, and you know, because everybody thinks that I don't know it. I'm just teasing Chris. But anyway,
because you
ahead,
knew
Steve.
The whole time it was Tim McGraw, Indian Outlaw.
I knew that absolutely. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead and ask a question.
Okay, I'm following up on Les's security question.
Yep.
I also plan to wait till I'm 70, and my spouse is a year older than me. And I was under the impression if she waited till her full retirement age, then she would get half of my 70-year.
But that's only if you're claiming. So if she's a year older than you and you don't claim until 70, she's not going to be able to claim until she's 71, and then she's going to get half of yours at 71. I mean, half of yours of what it would have been at 67 when she's 71. Does she have any Social Security benefit of her own?
Yeah, she does. I just thought she had to wait till full retirement age.
Is she working?
She just retired this summer.
And how old is she right now?
She's 63.
60 what? I'm sorry, you broke up on me.
63.
63. And is her Social Security benefit a lot or is it a little?
It's about half of what mine will be when I hit my full retirement age.
So here's what she would do, okay? Very different than Deb and Les, okay? Because Deb had a very small Social Security benefit. Your wife is going to wait until she hits her full retirement age, which will probably be 66 and 6 months, okay? Or something in that ballpark. Once she hits that age, she'll go in and claim her benefit, okay? And then you're going to wait until you're 70. When you go in and claim at 70, she's going to go back with you to Social Security and say, check to make sure that my benefit is higher than half of his at his full retirement age. And if it's not, give me the bump up to his.
Okay.
You see where I'm coming from?
Yep. Yeah, I just... that's kind of what I thought, and I just wanted to clarify it.
Now, if you really, really needed money, she could claim earlier, but hopefully you don't really, really need money, and therefore I'd wait until she hits her full retirement age, okay?
Yeah, we don't need it, and she'll just spend it, so.
You shouldn't say that. She could be listening.
No, she's not.
All right, Steve. See, I remembered his name, Mike. All right, Steve, take care.
Well, I put it up on the screen for you. Well, we've got Tim in Northwest Baltimore back. But before we go to Tim, I just want to remind everybody that it's an open show. After Tim, we've got open lines. The next question could be yours. But before then, let's get back to Tim. Tim, we're sorry we lost you.
Yeah, I apologize. I thought I was done.
Yeah, no, we're still answering the question. The key that we're looking for, Tim, is to make sure... is there after-tax money in that annuity? And if there is, what's the taxable amount going to be? And then what does your overall tax situation, what do you normally report on your tax return every year? 20, 30, 100, 200, a million?
100.
100, wow. So you got a good income already. Therefore, if there's any amount of taxable money, are you single or married?
Single.
Single. So you're any new income that comes to you, you're probably going to report and pay taxes on it at about 33% when you throw the state of Maryland in there. And so you would have to be careful about that. Therefore, taxing it over 5 years, I'm not sure that taxing it over 5 years is going to help you any, though. Are you on Medicare?
Yes, sir.
You are on Medicare, see? So if he takes any kind of lump sum, he's going to get hit with that Medicare B, but he could just cut the, you know, take the Band-Aid off.
I didn't see that on the form. What do you mean by that with the Medicare hit?
So you right now, you're probably paying $185 a month for Medicare Part B. Is that correct?
That's very impressive, yes. I have A as
there
well.
There you go. I impressed somebody, Mikey. You never impressed you, but I impressed Tim. So if you take this $60,000 and let's say 30 or 40 of it is taxable, your Medicare Part B premium is going to probably shoot up to about $260 a month, because there's this rule that says whatever your adjusted income is for the 2 years prior. So in 2022, they're going to look at your 2020 tax return, and boom, if your income's a lot higher in 2020, your 2022 Medicare premium's going to pop up another $100 a month. So if you did that this year and you took that lump sum out in 2023, they're going to see your 21 tax return and they're going to say, wow, we have to start taxing Tim $265 a month, no longer $185 a month. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I'm just very disappointed, but I understand. I just, didn't see any of that. And I read the form completely. It's about 10 pages. And I even called them a couple of times.
I'm talking things that they don't care about. They don't care about it, They're just saying, Tim, this is what you got to do, okay? What you need is somebody really knows taxes to help you look this thing over before you make a final decision, okay? And I just, if you want to, you call in my office and ask, and I'll go over it with you in detail for 20 minutes or whatever, and I'll help you come up with a conclusion.
You would help me like that, Mr. Tignanelli?
We do it all the time.
I appreciate that. Could you give me your number, please, before you go?
410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-7283.
Thank you very much.
All right, Tim.
I'm going to give you a call.
All right, let's go, Peter. Let's go to Peter, whoever.
All right, so Peter in Parkville, you want to join Drew in Florida, I understand.
I'm here.
Right.
I want to get the heck out of Maryland really badly.
Okay.
So I want to go down south, and I was wondering if perhaps you might have a suggestion
here's the simple question, okay, Peter? Yes. What type of gross income will you have in retirement? Is it going to be $50,000, $100,000, $200,000?
Well, once I sell my house, then, it's... Let's say conservatively, the house is worth something like $250,000.
Okay, but like what's your income going to be?
It's only going to be Social Security that I have.
Oh, then it doesn't matter what state you live in.
Yeah,
but the difference.
Do you know of states like, for instance, Alabama?
Alabama would be a good state to live in. South Carolina would be a good state to live in. Georgia would be a good state. And Delaware would be good states, because property taxes and sales taxes are going to be some of your biggest costs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want to try to avoid.
So, Drew, okay. What do you think about West Virginia for that, too?
No, I don't want to go there.
Okay.
Alabama, you think, is...
Alabama would be a very good state. Here's a great website for you to look at, Peter. Retirementliving.com.
Okay.
And just do a Google search, retirementliving.com taxes state by state comparison.
Okay.
All right? Do that. And when you come up with that webpage, it'll give you a map of the United States. If you know your geography, hit on Alabama, hit on Georgia, and it'll tell you what's their property tax rate, what's their income tax rate, do they tax Social Security, da 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 da. And you'll be able to do that homework there. And Mike said earlier, cost of living is the big reason you want out of Maryland, because Maryland's high cost of living, high tax. You get out, you get
a low cost of living, high crime,
and go somewhere else. Alabama, Georgia, good states to consider. All right, my friend?
Thank you so much, Drew.
Thank you. Take care. Good question. Great question.
All right. Well, we're going to be going to a break here in a minute, but I want to make sure that Lee in Towson knows that he is the next caller up. But I also want everyone else on the line to know we got the last fourth quarter of the show. The lines are empty other than Lee, who we'll get to next. So give us a call in at 410-922-6680. And with that, we'll be right back with money. Do you just want to say something?
No, you go ahead. I was going to say right back with money, riches, and wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE, or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
To more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Procol Harum Conquistador. You know,
hey,
you know, Chris
says you got it.
Chris, you know, I'm very excited. I wanted to prove to Chris that I've really been just teasing him all these years. I know a lot more about music than he can imagine. I've been to more concerts than most people have even considered going
to. That's only
to.
Because you were selling beers at Towson University for
That's
concert.
True. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, and I'm assuming Lee's online for us, right, Michael?
I'm here. I have two Florida-related questions.
Okay.
The first one is a real estate agent, a broker, told me if I move to Florida not to change my driver's license until I sell my house in Maryland because there would be an extra tax. I guess it's a non-resident or something.
You know, look, let me say something, Lee. To all you real estate agents out there, get your act together and start doing your job a little more responsibly, because that's ridiculous. They tell people this stuff all the time, and it's not 100% true. It's not even close to true. So, Lee, if it's your personal residence, you could buy a place in Florida, and then as long as you sell your Maryland house within 3 years, and you're within the guidelines of Section 121, personal residence tax-free exemption, you can sell that house without the Maryland 7.5% withholding tax. And that's another key issue. It's not a tax. Technically it is a tax, mm-hmm. but it's a withholding tax that can go against when you file a Maryland tax return, but you wouldn't even have to do it because it's your personal residence. And I'm really tired of real estate agents who are not helping clients understand it. If you just learn the rules, Mikey's sitting there saying, I'm going to be a diplomat and I'm not going to let him beat up on real estate agents like this.
I'm going to play devil's advocate and I'm going to say, well, if I was a real estate agent sitting here, I would say, but what if he had $250,000 of basis in his home and we're going to sell it for $750,000, but if it doesn't sell until 4 years later, what happens to our good friend Lee in Towson?
Well, if it doesn't sell for 4 years, he's not even going to get his $500,000 capital gain exclusion. That's going to be a problem. He's got to sell that house within before the third year is up from when it was his.
But if he had come back and visited and kept Maryland residency during that one more year or two more years of the 4 years.
All you got to do, Mike, is bring the price down to a place where a willing buyer will pay for it.
The point that I'm sharing is just that a real estate agent who isn't sharing maybe enough information with you is looking at a scenario where...
No, wait. His issue, Mike, was that he said that Maryland would charge the 7.5% Maryland resident non-residence tax. That's what he's talking about.
Okay, I thought he was
not
talking about the exclusion.
Not the capital gain exclusion. If the agent was talking about that, I would say, okay, I can understand what the agent's saying. You know, we've got to be careful with that. But it's the 7.5% non-residence thing, and most agents don't understand the issue. They ought to learn it so that when they talk to their clients, they deal with it properly. So, Lee, I'm sorry. You hit me on a topic that really frustrates the living heck out of me on real estate agents.
So my question is that really a non-resident tax? Or as you said before, withholding?
It is a non-residence withholding that would take place if you don't have an exemption. But you would have an exemption because as long as you sell that house within the first 3 years of moving to Florida, Maryland would not hold the tax on you because you would have a Section 121 exemption. And there's plenty of exemptions, and it's easy to get the exemption. You just have to understand, you got to apply for it before settlement. Lee, I got to run, but if you want to talk more about it, you let me know. I'll be more than happy to explain it to you. Just call my office, okay? Thanks,
okay,
Lee.
I'll call you out. Thanks.
Take care.
All right. Well, we have plenty of callers on the line. Let's go straight to Joe in Baltimore City on Social Security about waiting till 70. Joe, how can we help you?
Hey, sir. Do you still believe in people waiting till they're 70 with all that's going on in our country for their Social Security?
You know, well, let me just say something, is that there have been things going on in our country since the Revolutionary War. And so I wouldn't be too worried about waiting until 70. I'm waiting, and I have no problem with it. Why? Because they print the money. Even Russia and Argentina have not defaulted on their old age pension. So don't worry about the United States being the first to do it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
All right.
You know, there are going to be a lot of people calling me up in 2035 saying, "What the heck did you recommend to me?" No, I don't think so. I think that's not a problem. But go ahead, Mikey.
Well, so we're rounding out to the end of the show. But before we go, we have time for at least for just one more caller. And Mike in East Baltimore, you wanted to talk about the homeowner tax credit.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Yeah.
Homeowner tax credit program. I live in the city. I pay about close to $3,000 a year in tax, and they want to for the tax credit. Is it worth it for me to fill this application out to try to get this reduced?
Well, let me ask you a couple questions. What do you think your gross income is?
It's according to them, it's got to be less than $60,000. So I know it's less than 60. It's around 40.
Okay, so that's a good one. And do you have a net worth less than, what is it, Mike, $200,000, not including the house?
I can't remember the net worth. Correct. I think it's an over 65.
Correct. I'm over 65.
And you have a net worth under $200,000 and not including the house? Yeah, then absolutely, you should be filling it out just to make sure, do you get a deduction or not? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's a good deduction.
And it's a good credit. It's a very good credit. It's one of the few things they actually do right.
Okay, I appreciate that.
All right, take care, Mike.
Thanks for your call, Mike.
Sure.
Mike's our compliance officer in his company, and he's saying, I'm going to take you off the air, Drew. If you keep talking like this, I'm taking you off the air.
If I had the power, I would have done it years ago. Just kidding.
You know, Drew, you got to quit having an opinion. That's the problem I have with you. Anyway, what else, Mikey? Anything?
No, it's been a great show. I mean, I don't know if we want to round things out. We got a minute or two left to just kind of talk
about. Let's talk about Lee's issue with the non-residence tax. So, you know, I moved to Florida. I bought a house in Florida, and I sold my house in Maryland, and they wanted to take a non-residence tax. And I said, no, you can't take a non-residence tax because it's my Section 121 home. I get an exemption. You allow me to have an exemption, and they didn't take a tax. You just got to get a little certificate from the state of Maryland. What's that form called? It's a form 508.
If you talk long enough, I'll figure it out.
Actually, if I just dropped my screen, I would probably see it because I've got it on my desktop of my computer. But anyway, it's a form that you fill out well before settlement. You got to do it. I think it's 25 days before settlement. And go ahead, Mikey.
The MW506. NRS.
I was off by two numbers, 506.
Thank you, Google.
506
NRS.
NRS, non-resident surcharge or something like
Return
that.
Return of income tax withholding for non-resident sale of real estate.
Non-resident
property.
Sale. But when you fill that out, what are some of the exemptions they give you? 1031 exchange, Section 121 personal residence. What are a couple of the other ones? I think it's on page two.
Yeah, you know, it's very wordy, Drew. As I try to read it
Anyway, he's going to start playing that song again. So you might as well just give up. So anyway, you know, we're out of time, aren't we, Chris?
Yes, yeah, we stretched that out a little bit at the end there, didn't we, guys? All right. Well, I had a great time on the show, Drew.
Mike, always a pleasure. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Things are gonna